Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, ladies and gentlemen. Kerry Stevenson with you again. And today I'm bringing you a fantastic opportunity company, Far East Gold, ASX code is FEG. I know I sound excited because I am. Why? This is a company that's got six projects. They've got three projects in Indonesia. These are big projects, very much undrilled, untested. Not a lot of work being done on them in the last 20-odd years, but Far East Gold have picked up some great projects up there in Indonesia. Also, three projects down here in Queensland in the Drummond Basin, Connors Arc. So we're going to go across where and what they're doing. And they only listed a week ago. So they raised close to $12 million for the listing, and they are underway up in Indonesia and in Queensland. Please welcome Paul Walker. He is the chairman. He's been busy. Paul Walker, welcome to Small Caps. Great to see you. And thanks for giving us an update, because Far East Gold, you've got some great projects, and we last spoke with Far East Gold in January, and now you're on the board. So first of all, congratulations for your virtual listing. I meant that COVID means they can't all get together, ladies and gentlemen. It's not that they're not listed. Good to see you. Paul, for those that don't know who Far East Gold are, just do the quick overview. I've given a brief overview, but a quick overview from your side, and then we'll drill down into where you're going to spend the money that you raised.
Thanks, Kerry. Yeah, it's been a great week. The virtual bell ringing ceremony, but actually listing, yes. So Far East Gold, as you mentioned before, we have six projects, three located in Indonesia on the Sunda Magmatic Arc. One of them, in our opinion, is the best undrilled prospect in Southeast Asia. It was previously explored by Barrick, then Newcrest. It had a lot of early stage exploration done, but no drilling as such. Now, we as a team have managed to downgrade about 7,700 hectares within that 24,000 hectare tenement from its forestry designation to enable drilling to progress for the first time in its life. So that's why one of the reasons why we're very excited, coupled with the high-grade gold and silver assay results that are coming out of the four prospects that we've taken the work done by Barrick and Newcrest and further explored and further mapped. So about 10 and a half kilometres of exposed strike length of vein systems that we've mapped, three distinct prospects, which we think may eventually link up. So we're going to be doing further work to see if they do link up. And the gold grades, the most recent assay results from it, the rock samples we did in December, we did 57 rock samples, averaging 11 grams per tonne for gold and 96 grams per tonne for silver. Now, what was great about that, each of the four prospects, the maximum grade for gold was above 50 grams, one maxing out at 119 grams per tonne, and the maximum for silver was just under 1,200 grams per tonne for silver. So really high grade bonanza potential. And that's what Newcrest liked about it. They saw similarities in Woyla to their Gosselong project, which was a 6 million ounce gold mine with grades of greater than 20 grams per tonne. And they saw similar characteristics in the crustiform banding of the vein system to Gosselong. And we're seeing bonanza grades in the work that we're doing, which is why we're excited about Woyla.
But sorry to interrupt you, Paul, but if that's what Newcrest was seeing, why did they let it go, and how did you get your hands on it? I know I've probably asked this in the past, but just remind me, because these.
I'd like to think it's a combination of factors is the truth of it. I'd like to think it's because we're very smart, but that's only part of the story. Like, we are very experienced in Indonesia as a board. Majority of the board speak Indonesian. We have between us decades of experience in the mining sector up in Indonesia. Like, one of my co-founders is Justin Werner, who's the managing director of Nickel Mines. And Nickel Mines, it's an ASX listed company, approaching $3.5 billion market cap, It's raised over $1 billion for its mining operations in Indonesia, and it's producing nickel. It's one of the largest I think it's the largest pure nickel listed company in the Australian Stock Exchange. So it is. Our team understands what's required to progress projects in Indonesia. That's one part to it. The other part to it, in 2020, the Indonesian government passed a whole series of omnibus laws, which simplified a lot of the permitting and approval requirements for mining. So it went from having to deal with layers of provincial, local, and then central government, and it's taken to a central government focus. So it's actually simplified things. So we were the beneficiary of that timing, but also, you know, we had experience in dealing in the Indonesian regulatory framework. Right place, right time, right team is probably the reason why we succeeded when others tried and failed. But you said the other two projects we have in Indonesia, they're much further progressed than Woyla. So between them, they've had about 40,000 meters of drilling done to date. So they're not early stage; they're very advanced. Trenggalek it's had about 18,000 meters of drilling done on it previously by Anglo American. Anglo was in there before. Likewise, there were some porphyry targets in there that they wanted to get into, but they were constrained by forestry. That forestry designation has been changed, and they're free for the first time in their life to progress to drilling. Right place, right time. What we love about Trenggalek is it's situated in East Java on the Sunda Magmatic Arc, very close to another mine called Tujuh Bukit. Now, Tujuh Bukit displays very similar geophysical signature to our project Trenggalek. We have a similar size volcanic plug, about 5.6 kilometre volcanic plug on top of our epithermal and porphyry deposits to what Tujuh Bukit has. Tujuh Bukit's owned by Medeka. Medeka is listed on the IDX as a market cap of about $6.5 billion. They have a resource at Tujuh Bukit of they have 30 million ounces of gold and 19 billion pounds of copper.
I'm coughing because those numbers are huge. 30 million ounces of gold.
It's 30 million ounces of gold and 19 billion pounds of copper. What Anglo liked about that project is they saw similarities between Trenggalek and Tujuh Bukit. What we like about the project is we see similarities between the two projects. We have a mining license for that project, so we could theoretically build a mine there tomorrow if we wish to. But our plan is to progress further exploration, particularly in the porphyry areas that haven't been explored properly before. So,
and what's reasoning for doing that? Because I'm asking. Because when you say, look, we could in theory build a mine there, that to me says, which gives us revenue, which means that we don't have to constantly raise. I'm just going through it in my head from an investor thesis.
Yeah, of course. So it's a balancing act, to be honest, Kerry, because we only listed a week ago.
Yes. Paul, hurry up.
As a company, we've only been around for a few years. As a company, we've been working on this for many years. But in terms of raising the capital required to develop a mine, I mean, that would have been very dilutive to any investors to this point in time. So our plan is to firm up the resources that we believe are in these projects, see that they can be the tier one potential projects we think they could be. Improve, some value accretive activities along the way, improve our market cap. We're sitting in a market cap about 60 odd million today. You don't go and raise the money to build a mine with a $60 million market cap.
Yeah, fair enough. That's a very good answer. Very good answer. Listen, Trenggalek is very interesting. Anglo had it. You guys got it. Did you steal it out from under them, or because it sounds
No. That, again, because these big players are looking for the big projects, and when those are constrained with a forestry area, they move on to the next one. Now we've come in, and the forestry area problem's been fixed. So
timing.
Timing, perseverance, agile. A good smart team that's been able to progress it. And then our third project in Indonesia, which is where it all started, is Wonogiri. Mm. Yeah, now Wonogiri, we acquired that from the two vendors, A4N, Alpha HPA Limited. They previously had it when they were called Augur Resources. Justin Werner, who's one of my co-founders, he was formerly the managing director of Augur before he still remains a non-exec director of A4N. We acquired it from them. They were the minority holders. The majority holders held 55% of a company called Rajawali Corporation. Now, Rajawali, they're a conglomerate, multi-billion dollar conglomerate. One of their entities is listed on the IDX called Archie. Archie has a mine that produces 200 plus thousand ounces of gold a year with a 6 million ounce resource. So they are big gold players. They saw Wanagiri as probably too small for them. And we came along and said, can we take it off your hands? And they said yes, which was nice. And that's how Far East Gold started. Now, what we like about Wanagiri, it's had nearly 18,000 meters of drilling. That was Trangallic.
That was Trangallic.
Yeah, Wanagiri's had over 21,000 meters of drilling done on it. And it has a JORC resource estimate of just under 1 million ounces of gold and 190 million pounds of copper. Now, what's interesting about Trangallic as a project, it's a relatively shallow sub-outcropping porphyry deposit, which means it's a relatively inexpensive capex.
Sorry to interrupt you, Paul. You said Trangallic. You mean Wanagiri, don't you?
Wanagiri. I'm sorry. Wanagiri has 1 million ounces of gold and 190 million pounds of copper. Yes, the JORC resource.
Yep.
And it's a relatively low capex mine development. Now, our next phase of work will be taking its current exploration permit and upgrading that to an operating and production permit. So that's our focus in this year is to upgrade the permit so we could then take all the work that's been done in the past, upgrade the scoping studies ourselves, look at the PFS, rebalance the metallurgy and flow sheets, and then look to see how we capitalize that into development and operation in the future. So it's a great little starter, a million ounce starter project.
It's north Indonesia of Indonesia, isn't it? It's near the Aceh Banda province, is that correct? And going so south of that?
Woyla's to the north in Sumatra.
Yep.
And Wanagiri's in central Java. So it's about a 5-hour drive south of Jakarta. So yeah, it's really accessible in terms of 12 kilometer drive to grid power. It's really good access to infrastructure. And then Trangallic is in East Java. So it's the two of the projects are on the island of the Java and one's on the island of Sumatra. So there are three Indonesian projects.
Okay, before we get to Queensland, which I do want to do so, but Indonesia, just the numbers are blowing me away a little bit. You've raised a lot of money. What's going to be the news flow, I guess, in the coming few months? Because you're now listed and you're underway. All of you have got strong connections with Indonesia. As you said earlier, you speak Indonesian, you've got good connections up there. What's the news flow going forward? When's drilling going to start? What can investors hope to hear from you?
Yeah, so we've got a really detailed plan for how we're going to take these projects forward, each one of them. So each one of them has a lot of milestones which will land at different times. So that's one of the benefits of having six projects is there's always something happening on one of them to tell people about. Yeah. The plan is to spend about half of the money we've raised on the Woyla project, because we see that as our best opportunity for delivering value upside to our shareholders, because it's sitting there with all the hallmarks of a monster, and we
sorry to interrupt you, Paul. That's what I wanted to find out, because Trangallic you've got, Wanagiri you've got, but your focus is on Woyla, and is that because you can sense that this is a monster that just needs to be uncovered? That's why you're going to throw quite a bit at it in the early stages. Am I getting that right?
Yes, that is right. And we also see that's the best opportunity for us to increase the value of the company and increase value for the shareholders, because we'll be a couple of things. Yeah, we'll be able to when we get drill rigs running on site, we'll be doing something that Barrick and Newcrest couldn't do. And that in and of itself is remarkable. And then when we start, if we see the results that we are hoping to see from the early stage work, we think that'll also be exciting for the market. Now, in terms of when can we do it? Well, we have the ability to drill now in Woyla, to the north of one of the prospects. the area that we can drill in, we don't need any further borrow use license, any further permits, but it's the area we've had the least amount of early stage exploration work done on it. So we want to focus on getting the next license, the borrow use license, in our hands to do exploration on areas where we have more early stage exploration activity completed. So we're actually more comfortable that we'll get better results from the drilling. So that process is well advanced. We received the governor's of Aceh's endorsement about 6 weeks ago for the next stage of progressing the project. So the governor signed saying yes, they support the project. In terms of support we're getting for our projects in Indonesia, we had a virtual bell ringing ceremony last week. We had dignitaries from Austrade and from the Queensland Investment and Trade Commission, but we also had the Director General of the Indonesian Mines and Energy Department participate in our virtual bell ringing ceremony. He, in fact, was kind enough to say words at the ceremony, welcoming Far East Gold into Indonesia and encouraging our participation in the mining sector up there. So we are getting a lot of support to take these projects forward. Now, we're comfortable that we will progress these next permits in the time, and then we'll start drilling in the area that we want to drill in as soon as they come to.
So my final question before we get, because we're running out of time, before we get on to Queensland quickly, is any COVID implications up there, or have you found that, you know, can you get rigs and crews and all that sort of stuff? Is that all okay for you up there?
Getting rigs and crews is not a problem. We actually have drill contractors for Woyla lined up, okay. And we're talking about the availability and timing for that. We haven't, as I said, we haven't pressed the go button on that, because even though we can, we're choosing to wait to the area that we wish to go to, that we think is going to be a better outcome. The only challenge that we've had from a COVID perspective is obviously some of the logistics in terms of travelling back and forth from Australia to Indonesia. That's freed up now, thankfully. So, our CEO, Shane Manair, he's up in Indonesia right now. Justin Werner's up in Indonesia right now. I'll be back up there before the end of April. One of the few challenges we've had is administratively trying to get some paperwork progressed. Has sometimes been a little bit slower because people have been away sick for COVID. Yeah, so either from our side or from government department side, even our counterparties' perspective. So I think that's no different to anyone else who's had to deal with COVID over the last 18 months. So yep. not a particular problem.
Okay, and it's open now. All right, so we've got over Woyla, Trenggalek, Wurundjeri. Now I want to just go down here into Queensland, Drummond Basin, Connors Arc. What have you got there? Because I could be wrong. I don't think the market has truly recognised from a value point of view, your Queensland assets. So give us a brief overview of those and why you like them so much.
I think we got really lucky when we acquired these projects. The vendors of the projects were known to us. One of the managing directors of the vendor is the managing director of Rajawali's mining arm.
Handy.
So we were dealing with him anyway, and he understands how to operate mines. His partner is a very experienced geologist who's had success around the world in finding deposits that have gone on to multi-million ounce operations, so a successful track record of discovery. We, at the start of COVID, were concerned about how we'd progress our Indonesian projects, and these three projects presented themselves to us, and we grabbed them, because they had all the hallmarks of great projects. They're not early stage. Hill 212's had nearly 1,500 metres of drilling done on it already. We've gone and done another 24 line kilometres of geophysics survey work. Mount Clark West, that's had about 1,500, again, sorry, Mount Clark West had about 1,500 metres of drilling. Hill 212's about 800 metres of drilling. So between them, they've had enough drilling to know that there is mineralization in these tenements. Hill 212, mineralogy is characteristic of at depth epithermal vein system. What our geophysics survey work has done is it's confirming similarities to GBM Resources Yandan project and even Krakow. So we actually like what we're seeing from a similarity to other projects in the Drummond Basin. What we like about Mount Clark West is we can see a really large geophysical anomaly at depth there. The drilling that's been done in the past has clipped the edge of it. And it's shown, you know, copper, gold, molybdenum mineralization, which shows that we are on the edge of a porphyry system. Wow. When the drilling that was done wasn't done, in my opinion, in the right location, our work going forward is doing further geophysics and then putting drilling in the right spot to prove up that this system is what we think it will be. So, yeah, we have a really interesting big copper plug in Mount Clark West. Hill 212, it's had quite a bit of work done. Mount Bluegrass Creek, which adjoins Hill 212, it's really early stage. You know, we picked that up because the ASTA survey work that we did shows very similar mineralization to the vein system in Hill 212. In fact, we believe it extends in through the one tenement to the other. So we're confident that the work we do in Hill 212 will benefit what we see in Bluegrass Creek.
Goodness me, you've got a lot on your plate. He's only been listed a week, ladies and gentlemen. Whew, I hope you've taken that all in because it's a very exciting time for Far East Gold. We're running out of time, Paul. As always, what I want to find out from you for my beautiful community out there of investors, three reasons only. I know you've got six projects, but you're going to have to pick, give me only three reasons why they should be sitting up and taking notice of you right now.
Well, first reason, yeah, we have three great projects in Indonesia. Two have potential to be tier one globally significant projects. People who might be concerned about Indonesia need to understand that it's the sixth largest gold producing country in the world and the 12th largest copper producing country in the world. So it's a, you don't get that big in terms of gold production and copper production without being a safe and sophisticated jurisdiction for doing mining operations. It is. Second reason, we have the necessary background and skill and team to take advantage of these opportunities. But not only can we take advantage of these opportunities to progress them, once they've progressed, Indonesia is one of the lowest cost jurisdictions in the Southeast Asian area to do mining operations in. So we're going to be progressing projects in an area which is relatively inexpensive to undertake mining activity. And then lastly, and importantly, don't forget our three great assets in Queensland. You know, we're sitting with a market cap circa $60 million. It looks like people have forgotten how good they are. We were lucky enough to pick them up when no one was looking, the start of COVID. We think they've got some great opportunity and highly prospective for being something interesting and potentially company makers in their own right.
It's a fantastic story, Paul. Again, congratulations for getting onto the boards there. You've got lots ahead of you. But ladies and gentlemen, these guys know what they're talking about. And as Paul just said, Indonesia, sixth largest jurisdiction for gold, 12th for copper. This is a big open for business jurisdiction. So don't worry about that. And these guys all speak Indonesian. They know the area. They know what they're doing. But also 60-odd million market cap. This could be a very big gold and copper system that they're uncovering, and they have the Queensland assets as well. As always, make sure you do your own research, do your own homework before you put a dime into any of these things at all. This is not financial advice. You all know that. But I think Far East Gold is off to a cracking start. Really happy to have Paul join us. He's the chairman. Congratulations once again. Thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
Thank you so much, Kerry.